Welcome to the show, sports fans. This is the Treasure Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com.
That's right. Welcome in another edition of the Treasure Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com, presented by No Vape Idaho, Idaho Public Television's campaign to raise awareness about the dangers of youth vaping. Be smart, don't start. We're here to break down the biggest stories in District 3, the Treasure Valley, week in, week out. Brandon Bainey joined by our Treasure Valley expert, Logan Green. What's up, Logan?
Hey, Brandon. How's it going? It's been a while. I always feel like those weeks after state basketball are just like, all right, where am I? You know, I've come up for air after being, you know, neck deep in all of it. And last week, my kids were like sick all week. And so if anybody else in the Treasure Valley has kids, younger kids that have had a stomach bug, you're not alone, because my kids had it last week. And I know they got it from other people that had it. And it seems like everybody I've talked to has had it. So I'm hoping that we're on the plus side of this now, finally. And yeah, I think the sun's about to come out, and you know, and we're ready for springtime to come around. So that's great. But Brandon, real quick before we get started, no vape, right? So they have a video contest that I just wanted to remind everybody about. You can submit it. If you go to the website, you'll find more information. You just click any of the banners on our website to get there. But you just have to create a video. If you have to be a teenager in Idaho, 13 to 18, live in Idaho, teenager, you just can make a video with you bashing vaping. Essentially, you get to bash them, bash their marketing tactics, bash whatever you want, and upload it. And you could win like $2,000. So it's pretty cool. So if you haven't heard about that, just wanted to remind everybody, because it's due on April 1st. And so make sure that if you want to do that, that you go ahead and do it. If you haven't heard about it, go check it out on their website. Again, there's links all over our website to get there. But hey, you know what? If you can win some extra cash from making a video, hey, why not?
Yeah, it's really cool. And I know there's lots of, you know, I think of Valley View High School right away in the Treasure Valley, right? They've got a pretty savvy group of media students that could put something together pretty quick, I think. So,
yeah. And lots of kids are doing lots of cool stuff with, you know, like highlight videos online. Like I know there's people that have it, you know, just got to come up with an idea, put it into place and win some money off of it. So good luck to anybody out there who enters it. And yeah, I just wanted to remind everybody about that one more time.
Yep, for sure. You mentioned everybody in your house was sick, Logan. I was sick last week, too. I'm still kind of, my voice is still not quite all the way back yet, but that's why no shows last week, no prep casts. Everyone was like, what's going on? Scott Burton, our Magic Valley prep caster, texted me like, yo, dude, you alive? And I was like, barely.
No, I heard this when I was in grad school. I heard that, like, I would get sick every time we had a break, like Thanksgiving break, sick, spring break, sick, winter break, sick. That, and again, I'm not a doctor, so my degree was in accounting / business, so I'm not, but that your body like knows it needs to keep itself together. And then once you finally cross your quote finish line, that it just says, okay, anything that's been waiting to pester me could come in. And hey, that would fit the bill, right? And my kids knew, hey, we gotta wait until dad is around. And your body said, hey, I gotta wait till Brandon's done with state basketball, then I can be sick. I don't know if that's actually true or not. That's what I heard from my teachers. Again, they were not doctors either, so
right,
take that for what it's worth.
I do think now, you know, as somebody who had COVID-19, this was a while ago now, but I think it's affected me for the rest of my life now, to where I get sick now. Before COVID-19, 3-4 days, I was back to 100%. It lingers now. It takes me two weeks to recover from like any type of sickness. I think COVID-19 did adversely affect my recovery timeline a little bit, but.
Son of a gun.
Again, I'm not a doctor like you.
Yeah, but it is. It is crazy that it's been 4 years since that all went down. I was watching the ACC tournament yesterday while I was working and thinking it was about this time 4 years ago, because it was like right before a game. It was right before NC State and Duke were set to tip off at noon. What a great noon for me in the middle of the day. And they were out there warming up, and they just told them all to get off the court, and that was it. And, man, I can't believe it's been 4 years. It seems like it was yesterday.
Yeah, four more years. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's get to it. The last time you and I were here to discuss just Treasure Valley happenings, girls basketball had just wrapped up. State wrestling was coming up. Boys basketball state was 2 weeks away. So this is going to be kind of a refresh of everything that happened from state wrestling and state boys basketball, the big stories from the Treasure Valley. And then next week, Logan, we'll get back into like spring sports, right? Baseball and softball have started. Track and field starts this week. Tennis, of course, in the Treasure Valley is always beautiful tennis weather down there, I feel like. So we'll get back into the spring sports convo next week. But let's start though with state wrestling, Logan. The big storyline, I thought, really there were several from the Treasure Valley. So let's just go in classification order. 5A, Meridian wins their fourth wrestling championship in a row. What a run of dominance for the Warriors.
Yeah, when you can just, it's a, you know, I talked to this back to football season coach Brennan Jones at Oakley before their championship. And I said, hey, you know, you've won three championships in a row. You're going for number four. You know, your guys have already know how it's done. And he said, well, yes, some of them, but this is a completely, this is a new team. I mean, it's the same. Some of the guys are the same, but they're all in different roles within this team. Even, you know, so-and-so's gone. So I had to step into their shoes and somebody, you know, that left my voice. So while it might be some of the same guys, every year it is a different team. So to continue to do that, you know, you push reset every season, even though, again, a lot of the same guys, different team dynamics. So to continue to do it like they've done, that it's just extremely impressive to do it 4 years in a row. So congrats to Meridian once again.
And they dominated. They scored 273.5 points. Post Falls was second at 206.5 points. Nampa took third. Middleton took fifth to finish in the top five there. And then Meridian was headlined by four-time state champion, Logan, Jason Mara. He won the 152-pound title. Carson Exford from Nampa, also a four-time state champion. Some of that was 4A. Some of it was 5A. He wins the 138-pound title. So we had two four-time state champions in Mara and Exford. Congratulations to both of them. They're joining Rarefied Air.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome work there. Just like you said, Rarefied Air.
and no mistake or no accident. They're both going on to compete at high level Division I universities. Jason Mara is going to be wrestling for Stanford next year, which will be in the ACC, I guess, for wrestling, you would think. And then Carson Exford is going to be wrestling at Wisconsin, which is in the Big Ten, which is like the best league there is for wrestling.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, the ACC is really like NC State. I'm just saying they're like, they won their sixth straight ACC championship. They're always competing non-conference with like Iowa, Wisconsin, Purdue, like going into that. And so like Stanford, you know, I'm not sure about how Pac-10/12 wrestling has been, but moving over to the ACC, there's a lot of good teams. Virginia Tech's always really good. So, you know, that's great exposure. And like you said, Wisconsin's already in it. Like, I don't know why the Big Ten is so good at some of the, they just, that's just like Big Ten, right? You know, low scoring basketball, low scoring football. They're just like grinded out. It just, you know, You wouldn't think the SEC, if you just told me, if anybody had to take a guess, what's a good wrestling league, the AC or the SEC or the Big Ten? I think everybody would take the Big Ten every time.
Yep. And it's just historically how it's been for a really long time. Other individual champions from the 5A ranks, Logan, Ryan Herchard of Nampa at 98, Jeremiah Gonzalez of Meridian at 113. We had Jacob Blanford from Middleton at 160, Hudson Rogers of Meridian at 182, Carson Gooley of Meridian at 195, Middleton's Cash Weeks won the 220-pound title, and then Shiloh Jones of Mountain View won the heavyweight title. He had been in the shadow of Aiden Natal from Bora, who's now wrestling collegiately, and he finally gets a chance to win the heavyweight title there. So congratulations to all of our Treasure Valley wrestling champions at the 5A level. Logan, 4A, this was wild. We said coming into the 4A state wrestling tournament, it's going to come down to Minico and Bishop Kelly. Minico's strategy was, we're going to win with our depth. We're going to win with our quantity. We're bringing the most competitors, and we're going to win a couple of individual titles, but we're going to hit the second, third, fourth, fifth place finishes and just overwhelm. Bishop Kelly said, we're going to come in with the quality strategy where we are going to get every last point out of our, you know, seven or eight star wrestlers. And so two contrasting styles. We had theorized, okay, which strategy is going to win out? We'll never know, Logan. For the first time since like the 1960s, we had a tie for the championship, and Bishop Kelly and Minico were crowned co-champions at the 4A state meet.
How does that even happen? Like that, it has to take so many things to go, quote, right, for that to occur. And that's in and of itself is impressive, right? To what are the statistical chances for that to occur? But I think that just goes to show, like you said, coming into it, everybody thought it was those two schools, and it really was those two schools. I mean, even they doubled up Blackfoot, who was third. Well, isn't that crazy? When they third and fourth tied as well,
yes.
Right? So it was like, what are the chances of that? Well, your top two tie and then your next two tie, but they almost doubled them up, right? It would have been almost doubled them up. It just Minico and BK just were on a tear.
Yeah. Lakeland and Blackfoot tied for third place there as well, Logan. So yeah, the top four all tied. The last tie was in 1969, back when it was called Class A. And it was Minico again. Minico and Snake River tied for the championship back in 1969. So this is like, you know, unprecedented almost for Bishop Kelly. But they do get to bring that championship banner home. So all's well that ends well, I suppose.
Yeah, everybody gets a trophy. So what happened to the second place trophy?
Who gets it? It gets destroyed. It gets sent to a... I was going to make a joke, but I won't.
I know where you were going.
I know
what you were doing. I got you.
Yeah,
I got you. I got you, Brandon.
I don't know. So somebody gets that as a cool piece of niche art.
It's going to end up in a Goodwill in like Russia or something.
Yeah.
That's where it's going to enter, you know, Yugoslavia or something. Some kid's bedroom. I was second place at the Idaho State wrestling tournament.
Yeah, it was
not
pretty
even a country anymore, is it? I don't know.
No. So it really did come down to Bishop Kelly, six champions. Minico had three. Minico had more placers, though, 13 placers to Bishop Kelly's 10. And really, Bishop Kelly had the lead until the very end when Garrett Vail from Minico had to score just the right amount of points to force the tie, and he did. So Bishop Kelly had the lead and had to watch Minico surge back at the end and tie them. So would you rather be the team that is surging ahead to tie, or would you rather be the team that has to sit back and watch it?
Oh, surging ahead, right. Surging ahead every time. I feel like in my sports fan life, I have too many times been the team in the lead that watched somebody surge ahead and then take it over, you know, just to sit back and watch. And, you know, whether it's team just, you know, going into prevent defense in the middle of the third quarter and giving up the lead, I would rather be the one scrambling to come back, which is what they did here. That's personally, that's where I'd rather be.
Yeah. Top individuals. Matthew Martino from Bishop Kelly won his third state championship. He took the 152-pound title. Logan, he's a junior, so next year he's going to try and go 4-for-4 and be the next member of the four-time state champ club. You also had Jake Castaneto from Bishop Kelly finish his senior year as a three-time state champion. Castaneto won at 132 pounds. The other champions for Bishop Kelly were Holton Crane, a freshman, at 98 pounds. They had Carlos Valdez at 145, Jaden Skellinger, the great senior, at 152, Saya Thompson at 170 as well. Other individual champs from the Treasure Valley, Logan, Emmett's Sam Buck won the heavyweight. He's only a junior. That was a great win for him also.
Yeah. Nice job there, Emmett. Squeezing one in the Bucks. That's a name we all know and love here at Idaho Sports.
For sure. All right. 3A tournament. Fruitland runs away with the title. They ended up with 318 points. Logan, that is a new Class 3A record for most points scored at a state wrestling tournament. The record was 1 year old. South Fremont set it last year. Fruitland breaks it this year. Only three champions, but they had 17 state placers. Incredible.
I mean, Buell came in second and they had 9. I mean, that just shows you had 8. You almost had double the amount of placers alone. And that, you know, that's going to be tough to beat, right? When you're tallying everything up. Awesome job by Fruitland.
Yeah, Fruitland's champions were Braden Griffith at 98 and Quinn Hood at 220. And then Caden McKenzie also at 152. Other Treasure Valley champs, Homedale's Trevor Painter wins at 106. And Weezer's Cash Cobb took the 182 title. So congratulations to those young men also.
Yeah, great effort. It's the SRV showing up strong at this tournament. And Fruitland just absolutely running away with it. Great job by the Grizzlies.
All right, 2A, 1A tournament, Logan. This is the first one that didn't have a Treasure Valley champion. New Plymouth took second. Malad wins the title. New Plymouth takes second. So a great run there for the Pilgrims. New Plymouth champions, Gabe Cox at 182. And then Nathan Willoughby, the heavyweight. He's a fun kid to watch. He brings a lot of emotion to the ring. A little showmanship, a little bit. And so congratulations to those two Pilgrims on their individual titles.
Yeah, great job. And, you know, they had two winners. And if I'm right, Malad won and Malad didn't have any. Is that
correct?
Is that right? They win a championship but don't actually have an individual winner. So, I mean, that just shows you, right? You don't necessarily have to have the guy out there. You just have to have a lot of guys that are hanging around up there. And that's what Malad did to win the championship.
Yep. One other champion in the 3A, 2A ranks from Melba. Or from the 2A, 1A ranks from Melba, Evan Michelson wins at 220 pounds. So congratulations there. And then girls wrestling, Logan, Eagle had been the only team champion in the history of girls wrestling being a sanctioned sport in Idaho. The big question was, would somebody be able to topple the Mustangs? And the answer is yes. Ridge topples Eagle. So congratulations to Thunder Ridge from the East. But you know, Eagle still did pretty well, in the team race. It's so hard with girls because, it is all one classification.
Right. So if you look at the rankings, right, the top five, Thunder Ridge won it. And who came in second place? American Falls, right? You know, you've got these. When have you ever seen a standings board with these teams, right? Thunder Ridge, American Falls, Bonner's Ferry, Eagle, and Jerome. Like, talk about, could you get a wider variety of teams? I mean, you've got a 4A team, two 5A teams, two 3A teams. Like, it's a wide variety from all over the state. So it is kind of cool to see, though, that it's like that, right? When everybody's all kind of put together.
Yep. Claire Waite of Boise wrapped up her career with a championship at 145, her second career title. Elise Twaite, great junior from Meridian, won her second title at 152. She'll be going for number 3 next year. Other champions from the Treasure Valley, Nia Avellino from Caldwell at 107. We had also at 114 pounds, Logan, this was a big upset. Rocky Mountain's Talia Nichols, just a sophomore. She toppled Lewiston's Jolie Slider, who was the favorite coming in. Jolie is a junior. Talia is a sophomore. And Al Fontes, who's a great wrestling contributor to IdahoSports.com, he also coaches for Rocky Mountain as an assistant coach. And mm-hmm. you wouldn't know that when he writes or, you know, covers wrestling for us. He keeps that media coach line very separate, but talking to him, you know, privately, he was like, I'm so proud of her as a Rocky Mountain coach.
Yeah.
This was a big breakthrough moment. So congratulations.
Oh yeah. No, awesome. Awesome job there.
Yep. So looking forward to Slider and Nichols next year too. Maybe we'll have to wait and see, but congratulations to all of our great wrestlers that competed 3 weeks ago. Now, boy, it seems like an eternity. And so congratulations there. And we'll continue to, you know, the Matt Chat prep cast is done for the season, Logan, but we'll have the occasional off season episode as it warrants. You know, the wrestling season never stops. Yeah. All these competitions going right all over the place. So yeah, congratulations there. Before we get to what happened in boys basketball,
I got one shout out.
Go ahead.
The 132 Kylie Fowler came in third. I that's my personal shout out. I know her dad really well, so I had to throw that one in there. It was her first time at state, and she comes out third, was seated seventh going in. So yeah, congrats. She wrestles for Middleton, like I said. That's a personal one. I know her dad, so I had to give her a shout out. So,
yep. Nope, you're totally good. So that closes the book on wrestling. Before we wrap up boys basketball season, Logan, did you know that physicians in Idaho are seeing children as young as 7 with vape-related injuries? How is that even happening?
No. I know. Well, we talked about this before, I think, just briefly, but like I have a 7-year-old. I could see he doesn't know. And it's like, now I got to have a conversation with my 7-year-old to say, hey, if somebody gives you this and tells you to breathe it, don't do it. Because, you know, I mean, if you look at the No Vape website, right, they tell you that, you know, that's one of the signs, right? When your kid might be vaping, you can smell fruity flavors on their clothing, things like that. So I could see a kid at 7 years old saying, hey, it smells like candy. I'll take it. But that's sad. How are they getting their hands on it? We can't let that continue to happen.
So parents, if you're out there, the best way to prevent your child from vaping is to talk to them about it as early as possible, and I guess 7 is not not too early. Most importantly, you know, talk about them about what they say if a friend offers them a vape. You know, this is where it starts mostly, is, you know, a friend says, hey, you want to try this? And so for more great tips like that, check out No Vape Idaho. That is Idaho Public Television's campaign to spread awareness about the dangers of vaping. All right, Logan, boys basketball. We had a lot of great. So girls basketball was unusual in the fact that there were no Treasure Valley teams playing on championship Saturday in the Idaho Center. That was different. Definitely a different tune for boys basketball. And we even had, I mean, you think right away with Owyhee. It was an all Treasure Valley final, right? Owyhee and Timberline meeting up for the 5A championship.
And when the bracket came out, that is exactly what I thought it would be. That's what I thought. When I saw the bracket, I thought we were going to get a rematch at the SIC championship. Now, had Madison been seeded differently, I probably would have taken Madison to make a run to the title game. But the way it was set up, I think you could see it from a mile away. And it's really funny talking to Lucas Gebhardt. He was our play-by-play guy for that tournament. He told me that Owyhee won that tournament the day they lost in the first round last year. That was the day that they won this year's tournament, that they just seemed like they were on a mission and they were ready to go. And, you know, we were there sitting there for that game. And, you know, Timberline hung around for a little bit, and, you know, about through the first half, you know, it was still kind of close. And then Owyhee just turned on the Jets, and they just have so many pieces that can get it done. That's the scary thing, is they're losing one guy, Liam Campbell, obviously a big piece, but I mean, if you look, I think he would even admit it. And I heard him say it to somebody. He's like, didn't play my best, but we still got it done. That if you've got a guy like this, that's committed to play at what is going to be a Big Ten basketball school, right? And he doesn't play his best, and you still run away with the state championship, and he's the only guy you're missing, this team is just going to be ready to go for next year too.
Yep. Owyhee beat Timberline 57-36 for the championship. It was close for like a half. Alex Coe from Timberline had not scored at halftime.
Yeah.
And that was pretty surprising. Co was the hero for Timberline in the semifinals against Coeur d'Alene, that 60-58 win in overtime. Timberline was down one until he made a three with about, what, 7 seconds to go. It was inside of 10 seconds to play.
Yeah.
It was pretty remarkable. So,
yeah. And you know, he's a guy like every time I've seen Timberline play, if he is a fun basketball player to watch. Really like watching Alex Co. Saw him a couple times this year, and yeah, just not saying the other guys can't do it, but when you lose a piece like that that is not scoring for whatever reason, whether he's been shut down, missing his shots, whatever it is, just can't get the ball in his hands. It doesn't add up for a recipe for success.
Yeah, just watching courtside in between doing work on Media Row there, it just looked like a why he didn't even let him catch the ball where he was in a comfortable spot. So good. Yeah, hats off to the Storm defense.
Sometimes it can sound bad, right? When you're saying, oh, this guy didn't score. You make it sound like, you know, it can sound like, oh, he didn't make any baskets. Oh, he was throwing up a bunch of bricks. But it's like you said, I it was hard to even notice that he was getting the ball because I think that was the goal for a white. I can't speak for Coach Harrington, but I'm sure the idea was let's limit the amount of times that this guy can beat us and maybe let somebody else do it. And I mean, they did a great job and they won a state championship.
Yep. Capital did get to the consolation final, but they fell to Lake City, and then Middleton and Eagle both went 2 and out. 4A tournament, Logan. The top placing teams were Ridgeview and Bishop Kelly. Hey, they'd already played like 4 times this year. I think it was only 3, but why not meet up at state in the third place game? Bishop Kelly wins 59-45 over Ridgeview, officially claiming the season series after Ridgeview had beaten BK in the district championship game.
Right. I think I don't know. Would you rather win the third place trophy at state or win your district championship? I think, I don't know. I think I'd take the district championship personally, in my opinion. I got the win on the big stage at ICC Arena. I think maybe that's the one I would take. So if I was Ridgeview, I think both teams walk away happy with things, right? I think if you're Ridgeview, you wish you could have got it done more, but you did go to state for the first time and you did win a game. You got to play at the Idaho Center on Friday, right? Now you got the blessed opportunity to play Pocatello, which is not fun for anybody. And you know what? You played it for a third place. You played for third place in the state. I think that Ridgeview was very happy with how they finished. They got an SIC championship. And if you're BK, you got revenge on losing the championship and came in third for the state. So hats off to those two third and fourth place teams in the state, BK and Ridgeview, for all the stuff that was spit out about how bad the SIC was, things like that. In boys basketball, they go 1-2 at 5A, and then at 4A they go 3-4. So I at the end of the day, I think you look at that, and I think that's a good positive thing going forward.
Yep. Scott Burton was on the call for the 4A state tournament for IdahoSports.com. Here he is in the chat. Refresh my memory. Which broadcaster won the contest for picking winners? I don't remember either.
I don't remember either. That's weird.
It was Scotty. He got 4 of 5. Correct. He didn't pick the 4A championship. We all abstained from picking the classification we were broadcasting. So I will say for the record, I think I also would have finished, you know, with 4 if I had been able to pick Lapway, but I was unable.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah, I feel like you got the one that was 5A. I felt like
you're right.
5A, it was like, yeah, Hawaii, and 1A D1 was, yeah, Lapway. And if you didn't, I feel like I got to miss the one that was the most wide open.
Yes.
And so I was grateful for that because I probably would have taken Snake River, but, yeah, Scott, I guess you won. Great. Would you want a sticker or something? Like, what do you want us to, like, what does he want? Like, pat on the back? I don't know what to give that guy. Purple Skittles? I know. It's like, what else can we do for you, Scott Burton? What else can we do? I'm just kidding. I'm that was all sarcasm.
I will say, Scott, if you're still watching or listening, text me when you want to do the Magic Valley Prep Cast this week, and we'll get it done. So, Here's another one. Gary Jones, he was on the call for the 1A D2 state tournament for idahosports.com. He says, loved the shot clock. One note, in college and the NBA, the clock doesn't reset to its full amount on offensive rebounds. Idaho resets the clock back to the full 35 seconds on rebounds. Do you see them trying something like 25 seconds when it resets? I think, and you tell me, Logan, I think initially everybody's kind of learning this, including the person operating the shot clock.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to walk before you can run.
Right. Yeah. And maybe that does come down the line, but you're right. It's like, here's the thing with the shot clock. I never noticed a situation where I was like, man, that shot clock is a pain, right? Nor it was, you know, but, I don't even think it like came up. Like it was just natural to say, oh, they, you know, if there was a possession that went late in the shot clock, you're like, oh, they got to get it up. But before, how many times were we talking about, wow, this team held the ball for 1 minute, you know, they grinded it out and that just went away. And I think it went away naturally. I don't think it hindered anything. And it just makes you wonder like, man, why didn't we do this before? Like, it just seemed like such a smooth transition and everything. I didn't notice one hiccup with it. I mean, that's not saying it didn't happen. I just thought it wasn't even like, this is new. There's some hiccups here. Like maybe we got to figure this out. It just seemed like, oh, we've always done this. That's how I felt about it. It was great. I love it.
And I think that was the biggest, you know, advocates of the shot clock were saying, hey, our players already play at a pace that's quick enough to, you know, the shot clock violations will be few and far between if we implement this. And I think that did bear out. And so, yeah. Agree. Shot clock, great, great innovation there. Let's continue with our rundown of what happened at boys basketball, Logan, state tournaments. The 3A tournament, this is the tournament you were on the call for. This one was the most difficult to predict. I was very surprised. If you told me Homedale would advance further than McCall Donnelly, not saying anything against Homedale, but I just, McCall Donnelly was such a good team during the regular season.
Yeah.
But they fall to Teton in the opening round by 9, 67-58. And then McCall Donnelly fell to Homedale in that Friday loser contest, 40-29, and they're done. Homedale then falls to Kimberly in the consolation final.
You know, if I had to reseed the bracket, I think I would have put Filer maybe in that 4-5 game with McCall and moved Teton to the 3 personally. Just thinking about it. Yeah, that was, I don't want to say anything, right? It just seemed like a balloon was popped in McCall Donnelly on Thursday. And it just let the air out, right? They'd only lost one game all regular. Like they had goals to win a state championship, right? To be playing Snake River on day 2 for a chance to go to the state championship. And it just kind of seemed like that all just, they just looked really flat on Friday. I mean, it is what it is. Like that's not a bashing statement. It just looked like maybe, I know they were out there still trying to play, but it just, you just have to wonder, right? Where you played so well all year long. And this is a Homedale team that you took behind the woodshed a couple of times this year, right? You beat them by 30 plus points. You had just beaten them in the district tournament by like 20, something like that. Like size wise, that's a game that they win 100 out of 99 times. I think Homedale just came out and they played so scrappy and Homedale, I think, coming in, knew what they were going up against in round one. They were looking forward to Friday. They knew that Thursday's going to be very tough for us. Let's go in and play for Friday. You know, and they came out ready to go. They were excited to be there on Friday, and they wanted to win, and they played great. And if you looked at the scorebook from that game, I'd have to pull it up. I think like 9 players scored. Nobody was in double digits. It was just the most even scorebook I'd ever seen. Danny Lamelli was our player of the game, and I think he only had 2 points, but he just completely controlled the game. Just in his position, a running the point, he just completely controlled everything and had everybody where they needed to be and guided his team, and they looked great. It was so fun watching them play in that game. And then, you know, then they went and they got beat pretty handily in that consolation final game by Kimberly, I believe. I think they wanted it real bad. They wanted the chance to beat McCall real bad. And I don't know if McCall was fully, yay, this is what I was looking for. And that's not what they were looking forward to on Friday. I believe if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Like, I'm sorry if I offend anybody. It's just, that was just the sense I got from my third party perspective.
Yeah. It's hard. Sometimes when you come in with title aspirations and you fall right away, you can come out a little flat that second day, whereas Homedale wanted it, right? And they had lost to McCall Donnelly three times. It's just kind of a perfect storm, I think. 2A hoops, Logan. All year long, the 2A Western Idaho Conference had four and sometimes all five spots in the coaches poll, in the media poll, however you want to slice and dice it. That pretty much is how it played out at state. All three teams that were there, the district champion, Nampa Christian, the second place team, Ambrose, and the third place team, Coal Valley Christian. They actually were seated in reverse order of that. Coal Valley was one. Yeah. Ambrose was two. Nampa Christian was three. But they all got to the semifinals, and they all finished 1, 2, 3. Let's start with just quickly Nampa Christian. They fell to Ambrose in the semis, 53-38. They turn around and beat a very good West Side team by 3, 61-58 to win third place. It was a great season for a Trojans team that didn't get a lot of respect during the year.
No, yeah, they kind of just flew under the radar, even kind of falling behind the view of Melba and even New Plymouth at times. But then they come out and they win, you know, they win the district, and then they finish third at state. You're right. And I probably overlooked them myself, you know, looking at, you know, other flashy things around, and they just quietly did their job, come in and win districts, and then finish third. Like, an impressive year for the WIC all around.
For sure. And then, of course, the championship. It was Coal Valley Christian. It was Ambrose. Coal Valley had nipped Ambrose twice in the regular season. Very close games. One was in overtime. Ambrose gets out to a huge lead, Logan. Like, it's like third quarter, and we're like, it's over. It's done and dusted, and just a bad game for Coal Valley. Then all of a sudden, the Chargers go on a 17-0 run, Logan, to get back into the game, make it exciting down the stretch. They have a chance at the game win or the game tying three in the final 10 seconds or so. It rims out. Ambrose holds on and wins 46-43. It was, looking back on it, I think the best championship game of the day.
Oh, yes. No, it was a great game. Like, I got there halfway through, and that's when the big lead was there, and then Coal Valley came roaring back. It was a fun game. The crowd was awesome for that game. It was terrific. It was a great environment for that game. Just tons of fun.
Yep. It was such an exciting, congratulations to Coach Sugarman for winning the title there at Ambrose, and Coach Waldeck of Coal Valley Christian for a great season as well. Just came up a little
Brandon,
bit.
Brandon, I want to say something. There was some conversation online after this championship game from people mad at these three schools for existing because they're private. I was so frustrated to read that. Like, it makes it like, okay, it's not like this happens every year. It's we had this conversation, right, with the private schools and charters. You know, we had this over the summer, right? And I'm so tired of people I'm sorry. I'm on their side with this. If there's a side to take, they haven't done anything wrong. They're just existing. Like, they are not out here, like, going to these huge, they're 2A schools, right? They're not going to the big 5A schools and say, hey, why don't you come play for Coal Valley? Hey, why don't you come play for Ambrose? Like, that's just, and if you say it's not happening to big schools, then yes, it is. Like, it's not like they're the ones doing it. No one else is doing anything like that out there. But it's like, this isn't the NCAA, right? Where you get money for your for winning a champion. You know, it's the, I was that was the reaction. It wasn't, it was their fault for making it, right? That, you know, my team lost to them in the tournament. So it's their fault for recruiting people. It's that, you know, we can't do that. I'm like, I beg to differ, honestly, for a lot of places, but dude, that's just not what they're doing. Like, maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure maybe somebody come out and you slap some proof down in front of me, but I just not what these guys are doing. They're 2A schools. It's not like they're filling their hallways with elite athletes. You know, they're working with what they've got. If you look at past champions, it's not like it's full of Coal Valley and Ambrose. Last couple of years, they have won some champ. But is this the first time we've seen the two of them meet in a championship game? Like, it's. Anyways, that I was very frustrated to see that it was. These guys should move up. They should move up. They should play somewhere else because they're a private school. It's like, okay, so you put them at the – it's not fair to them. Like, those kids that have been going to that school for 8 years, like we always want to scream things aren't fair, and then we change things, and it makes it not fair for the people that we said it wasn't fair for. I don't know. I was just really frustrated with that. So, anyways. Right. They're just doing their thing. You keep doing your thing, private schools of the world. Keep doing your thing. Just
lot to unpack there. Let me just devil's advocate on a couple of things. The private schools can recruit and do recruit, and that's fine. There's nothing against that because they are recruiting student athletes, right? I went through this in Montana where there's a Catholic school in Missoula. Their football coach went to the same church as me. And he said to me and my brother, like, hey, you guys want to come to the school's called Loyola. You want to come to Loyola? All you got to do is get to this town and then I can take you the rest of the way to school every day. So it happens. Like, I've experienced it, but that's fine. If you're a private school, you're allowed to recruit student athletes. But I can see where schools in more traditional communities would go, well, gee, that doesn't really seem right. And so I can see both sides of the argument there. The other point, and I lost track of it all because you went a lot of different directions.
Like 8 different tangents there. Sorry about that. It was just really annoying.
you're good. The other point, and we did have one comment here from Emily. Go Badgers. I'm assuming that's for Bonner's Ferry at the 3A level, but that's the other thing is like these private schools a lot of times are in large metro areas where the pool of available student athletes is much larger, where it's pretty easy for a school in Meridian, like Coal Valley is in Meridian, right? I get lost sometimes on where all the schools are actually at.
Yeah, it's in Meridian.
Okay, it's pretty easy. You've got a big population base there, and not just Meridian, but Boise, Eagle, Nampa, etc. You've got a large pool to pull from, whereas Bonner's Ferry, if a private school opened in Bonner's Ferry, I mean, you're like, you don't have as much of a base to draw from. And I guess that would be the argument there as well, is the more traditional rural communities, Melba, Marcine, etc. Yeah. They go, hey, it's not really fair. We don't have a population of 200,000 people to pull from.
I know. And I see that argument, and that's one that always comes up. But I would argue that's not the full population. Like, you've got a finite amount of people that actually would go to the school, right? Like, that are going, that say, yes, I would like to attend a small private school. That's not like everybody. That's not everybody's cup of tea, a small, even religious school. That's not my cup of tea. That's not me. I'm just saying that might not be somebody else's cup of tea, right? I want to go to the big school. Like, right, it's not. Like, I think we have this view that it's, they can pick anybody they want. And I don't think that's the case. I think it is they can, but I just don't think it's that they're handpicking their team like people make it out to be. Yeah, there probably is some of that that goes in there, but there's some of that that goes into other teams doing the same thing as well that are public schools, right? So, that's it. Like, and I know that argument and I've heard it and I see that point, but like, it's not like they get anybody they want, right? Like, why isn't Liam Campbell playing for Coal Valley? You know, why isn't Jackson Rasmussen playing for Ambrose then? You know, like, if they really wanted everybody, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like,
it's, I mean, that's not like they're good enough to play at Hawaii. Like, you would have to say, like, who was the 9th guy for Hawaii this year? Could that guy go to Coal Valley and, or go to Ambrose.
Sure. And, sure.
Like, that's where it, like,
sure.
It
but again, it's like, would you rather play for a big school, you know, like that? Or would you, you know, I just, not everybody's going to want to do that.
Right.
So that was my thing on that is that not, you know, it's, I just don't think it's a full pool like it's being made out to be. But anyways, this is a conversation for another day. Sorry.
I liked it though, because it did kind of happen. I saw it too, where, the top three were all private schools, and boy, that's a bad look, but like, that's legitimately the first time that's happened.
It's like that is not a common thing for it to be those three. Those three had a great season. Yes. But like, when have you ever seen one of them make it anywhere in football, right? Not to, you know, Ambrose doesn't have a football team, like Coal Valley, Nampa Christian, they make state, but you don't see a move. It comes up every once in a while when it rears its head, and then it's let's change everything. But
yeah, it's and for every Coal Valley Christian or an Ambrose, there's just looking in their same league, there's a Compass Charter or a North Star Charter that is struggling. And so it's not a one size fits all. Ryan Skaggs, our North Idaho prepcaster, man, this should be a separate prepcast.
Yeah.
In itself. We did this last year. We kind of did an off season prep cast about it. Maybe we'll revisit the topic this summer, Logan.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. I wasn't trying to make anybody mad. Kids are just playing basketball. Those kids are just playing basketball. Like, I guess that's my thought.
Did you say private schools? Let's talk Victory Charter and Liberty Charter 181.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
I will say, as I was the broadcaster along with Joel Richardson for the 1A D1 state tournament, and Victory Charter ended up winning the consolation final, Logan. They beat Valley 70-62. They beat Oakley in a very tight loser out game, 59-58. Noah Palomares had the game winning free throws with like 7 seconds to go. Cody Luce scored 30 points in that game for Victory Charter. They were such a fun team to watch. They didn't have a ton of guys. You know, they had about 9 players and really like 7.5 played. But it was really fun to watch.
They just throw out half a guy out there, Brandon.
Well, I mean, like the half came in for like a minute. Like,
I know. I'm just hit the left side of him, played. The right side had to stay on the bench.
Right. But I did, well, real quick, speaking of that, I did see one of the teams that won earlier this week. I can't remember which one for college hoops, Logan. They won their conference tournament to advance to the NCAA tournament. They had a one-armed player that came in at the very end of the game, and he got some floor time for them a little bit. It was on Saturday. I'm trying to remember who it was, but
Morehead State.
It could have been
them.
They were
one of the first ones to punch.
It was maybe the team that beat UNC Asheville. Maybe, I can't remember who it was, but I think it was Longwood. Yeah. I think it was Longwood. Had a one-armed player, which was cool.
About a school in the middle of nowhere. That's Longwood. Holy cow.
Yes. Diverting back to Victory Charter here. Here's Joel in the chat. Palomares, Luce, DeMille. Yes. There was a freshman, Grayson DeMille, who came off the bench for Victory Charter, and he was, undersized, freshman going up against, he had to go up against Dallin Hardy, just a big 6'6" farm boy, muscled junior from Oakley. And DeMille stood toe to toe with him and was unafraid and beat him to the spot several times. And so this was a Victory Charter team that was scrappy, feisty, led by Luce and led by Noah Palomares, who is actually going to play baseball, Logan, at Northwest Nazarene University. Victory Charter doesn't have a baseball team, so Noah plays with Skyview, and he actually is the starting center fielder for the Hawks. So it was awesome. Really, he came up and did an interview with us. He was our IdahoSports.com player of the game after that loser out game. And he's just such a great young man. And all of those kids at Victory Charter should hold their heads high. It was really fun to get to know them a little better.
Yeah. Traditionally, we don't see 1A D1 here in District 3 do well at the state tournament. Both boys and girls, we just don't. And so it's great to see Liberty Charter get that done there. Liberty Charter played really tough in some of their games, right? And and they were right in there because we have this big text chain going on among all the broadcasters with final scores. And I love getting reports in from people and seeing what the scores were. And they were right in there in their games. Even, I believe it. I mean, you were there, Brandon, so you could speak more to it, but it seemed like they were playing tough all weekend.
Yes. Liberty Charter played exceptionally well against Lakeside in the opening round. They lost 60-51. Funny enough, I actually wasn't there for most of that game because I had to go run and help somebody else on another broadcast. But by the time I got back, Lakeside had kind of finally started to pull away. But Liberty Charter with Luke Thomas and Luke Starner, really a nice 1-2 combo there. And they just couldn't make enough shots in their loser out game against Valley. And yet that loser out game, Logan, came down to there was like 5 seconds to play, and Pedro Robles of Valley went coast to coast for the game winning layup with like, you know, a second to play. So Liberty Charter was that close to playing Victory Charter again for the consolation title.
Yeah, and so they lose two games, but what, by a total of less than 15 points?
Like 11.
9 and 11. Gosh, that's tough. I mean, you were right there. Like,
yeah, I was impressed.
I mean, great. Hats off to Liberty Charter. I mean, both of those schools to play, you know, they had extremely tough first round matchups. Two teams that played for a state championship last year. Both teams went to the state championship this year. And, you know, that's tough to recover from. And they both. Victory goes wins two games on the way out the door, and Liberty Charter was right there with Valley in that next game. So, hey, hats off to them. What a great end of the season.
Yep. And finally, speaking of old friends meeting up, we saw this at the 4A tournament with BK and Ridgeview. 1A D2, Cascade and Garden Valley got to see each other again, this time in the third place game. Cascade wins it 55-42. Each team fell in the semifinals. Cascade, I thought, really pushed Camas County, the eventual state champion, more so than Kendrick did in the championship. They only lost by 6, 55-49.
And I think Garden Valley was even beating Kendrick in their game by 10.
Yeah.
Right? In the second half. And then Kendrick really turned it on and flipped the script. But, you know, I was there for that game, that third place game. And, Garden Valley was in control early, and then Cascade came out in the third quarter, and it was the third quarter. They just turned on the gas in that third quarter. And again, that was 2 weeks ago, so maybe I'm not remembering things accurately, but man, they pulled away and made it a difficult game for Garden Valley. And that game, it mattered. I think when you get the third place game between district teams, it really matters, especially when it's, you beat me in the district championship. Now I want to take this back from you, right? I'm sure there is some, hey, you, it's, that's funny. You don't have a trophy in your trophy case from state. And I do. Oh, wow. That's weird. You know, I'm sure there's some of that going on between those two, because Garden Valley won the district and then Cascade got it done at state.
Yep. So congratulations to all of the teams that competed at state. It was really fun. And congratulations, especially to Owyhee and Ambrose for bringing back state championships to the Treasure Valley. I say bring back, but we all know state's always in the Treasure Valley, so they didn't really bring it back anywhere. Yeah. They brought it back to their school.
Yeah. See, Brandon, I am remembering it right. Garden Valley was up by 6 at halftime of that game. They were up 31 to 25 in that game. The third quarter was a 16-4 quarter for Cascade. The fourth quarter was a 14-7 quarter. Garden Valley put up 11 points in the second half, and you can't do that. Cascade really turned up the defense in that second half and scored the ball. It was they won it in the second half. They were down by 6. And came out and were in control and ended up winning the game by 13. So talk about they outscored him by 19 there in the second half.
Yep, pretty remarkable and really fun to see everybody compete over the weekend. And now, Logan, we get into the spring sports season. We'll come back next week with some of the biggest highlights from baseball and softball and track and field and tennis, and not necessarily all of those sports every week, but just the biggest stories that are going on in the Treasure Valley. But if there is a team, a player, a story that you feel like isn't getting the coverage it deserves, you can reach out to either one of us, Brandon@IdahoSports.com or Logan@IdahoSports.com. And we love to hear these great stories about what's happening in the Treasure Valley with all these young men and women.
Yeah. And you know, it's always so tough at the beginning of baseball and softball and track, cause it's snowing, it's raining, it's everything. And nobody knows if a game gets moved, things like that. So if you have a game get moved, reach out to us, let us know so we can fix that on our end. Or if the game was supposed to happen or it got moved, yeah, just let us know. I think everything in the Treasure Valley for the next week is going to be golden. You look at the weather app and it is sun and warm up into the mid-60s, like all the way into the end of next week. So should be a great week for spring sports here in the Treasure Valley.
Yeah, I know, especially coming up next week, Logan, some of those spring break tournaments, the Win the Pitch tournament, big softball tournament that always happens. We'll talk about that. Yeah. Bucks Bags, you know, baseball tournament just around the corner too. So we'll have plenty to talk about on next week's edition of the Treasure Valley Prepcast. But until then, thanks for tuning in, everybody, and being part of the conversation today here on the Treasure Valley Prepcast. We will see you back here next week. No more weeks off, all right? The sickness is behind us, right, Logan?
It is. We're good. We're ready to roll. We're ready to go all through May. It's gonna be over before we know it, which is crazy.
For sure. Hey, one more reminder. This Saturday, it's the annual statewide all-star basketball games from North Idaho College up in Coeur d'Alene. These are the best players from around the state. We kind of changed up the format this year, where in the past it was team region versus team metro, which is basically, you know, the state of Idaho versus Boise, more or less. We just said, here's the pool of players this year, and we had the coaches draft their teams. That's kind of becoming the norm in all-star game competitions now. Treasure Valley, specifically, Dan Waldeck from Coal Valley Christian is coaching one of the teams on the boys' side. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be a fun event, so be sure to tune in and check it out. There'll be a three-point contest, dunk contest. Those are always fun to watch as well. So yeah, be sure to tune in live and free here on Idaho Sports.
That's right. It'll start at 1 o'clock Pacific time. That is 2 o'clock in that mountain time zone on Saturday from Coeur d'Alene. All right. Thanks for tuning in to the Treasure Valley Prepcast, everybody. For Logan Green, I'm Brandon Bainey. We will see you next time on IdahoSports.com.